The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
This is the age of foodless foods. As a matter of fact, nutritional studies have actually proved that I'm going to get just as much good out of eating that box as if I ate what came in it. If you get the stuff down, you would end up with just as much raw bulk to go to work on as millions of Americans send their kids off to school on or hubbies off to work on every single day, because a recent Georgia University study showed that cereal boxes, if taken with milk and raisins, are as nutritious as all but the most sophisticated of the cereals. The American diet, which has been called a national disaster, in which nutritionists say is not even fit for your dog, is causing a plethora of modern degenerative diseases. Not just heart problems, but ulcers and appendicitis, constipation, diabetes, obesity, and so many other debilities. The United States now stands way down in terms of life expectancy. It's 14th for women in the world, believe it or not, and 25th for men. Now think about that for a moment, because we like to think of the United States as being number one in practically everything. But when you think of the fact there are 24 other countries in which the male has a longer life expectancy, and there are 13 other countries in which females have a longer life expectancy, it says something for American health. Many countries, including Scandinavian countries, Iceland, Japan, Australia, Israel, and the Netherlands, have a greater life expectancy than the United States of America. And every year we drop a little lower than in preceding years. It's been said for so long that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that's very true. I'm not talking about romance and mom's home cooking. I'm talking about the multiple millions, 25 million by estimate, of individuals who suffer from heart and circulatory diseases, and largely because of what they eat. More people die every year in the United States from heart and circulatory diseases than from all other causes combined. And this by no means is limited to men and women in their 60s, 50s, 40s, or even their 30s. The pride of our youth, even in late teens and early 20s, now being afflicted by coronary heart disease. We asked Dr. Kiley about coronary disease in our teenagers.
We don't know that much about preteenagers and teenagers, but we do know about the age group of 18 to 25, where some studies that have been very revealing in this regard have indicated that there is an advanced degree of arterial disease in these people. Now, these are people that are ostensibly healthy. Some of them have been Marine Corps pilots who have undergone coronary arteriography and have been found to have extensive coronary disease. Some have been soldiers killed in the battlefield who have been found to have extensive coronary artery disease. So these are America's finest, are healthy teenagers or post-teenagers who seem to be perfectly well. In fact, this is very much what the problem with coronary disease is. It's an iceberg, and we only see what's on the surface when some major attack occurs, such as a heart attack.
Tell us, when we find the flower of our nation with hidden symptoms of heart disease, does it tell us anything about our lifestyle?
For example, I think the diet is one of the things that has come most into focus recently. We all are concerned about what we eat, and I think if we look at what our teenagers are consuming, the hamburgers, the french fries, the milkshakes, the donuts, there's a lot of saturated fat, a lot of animal fat in the preparations that the teenager uses as a staple food supply. I think that this tells us that perhaps this is wrong. We can't be certain.
But it's so convenient, and besides, you deserve a break. Give yourself a break in life and get out and visit some place where you can just sit down, plop yourself down out of doors, and the whole family do a giant dance complete with about 24 trombones and cymbals and drums, and eat some of that teenage diet that is slowly killing us all. Prepared foods, packaged foods, you can say pummeled and steamed and reshapen and in some ways distorted foods, perhaps. This is the thing of today. You go into a supermarket, you look down those glittering rows of packaged foods and read some of the labels, and it sounds like you've got to go back and take a degree in chemicals or chemistry or something of some nature so you can understand what is inside that package. But it begins to become a little bit unbelievable. We have so many nutritionists, so many scientists and doctors telling us what is wrong with our diet, and so few people who are willing to listen. And we want the FDA, we want other organizations, the FTC or big government bureaus, to protect us from all these terrible people who are force-feeding all of us Americans. There they are, these big cereal companies with this giant plunger and this big staff on the end of it. We're lying there with this huge stomach, you know, not a wrinkle in sight. We don't have any trouble washing our navels, some people, you know, just a giant, huge stomach there, and they're cramming this stuff down us, force-feeding our kids and force-feeding all of us. Well, there is something dramatically wrong with American lifestyle and the foods we consume. You are what you eat. And Americans are, perhaps not in this order, fat, sagging, enervated, tired, distraught, frustrated, and sick. We eat foodless foods, and we play what has been termed refrigerator roulette. We guzzle soda pop like it was the elixir of life, and millions think if it says diet on it, it's bound to be good for you. And we don't really seem to care if this cola kick comes from the caffeine that is added by the manufacturer, which is just like taking a good shot of coffee. We gorge ourselves on sugared, sweetened, crisp, that means fried, or enriched, a nice word, improved and preserved edibles of all sorts. Our modern diet is loaded with sugar. We consume 10 times more sugar today per capita than we did in the 18th century, well over 100 pounds per person each year, or about 1/3 of a pound a day. Shocking, right? You bet it is. And as a result, tooth decay is rampant. The recipe is simple. Sugar, candy, soda pop, gum, ice cream, sugar-coated cereals, plus teeth, plus bacteria, always plentiful, equals food decay. Bacteria convert sugar to powerful acids that literally dissolve the calcium and phosphorus compounds that comprise the tooth. No non-carbohydrate food has been proved to cause tooth decay. But to produce tooth decay, few, if any, foods can beat sucrose, the sugar we in the United States consume to the tune of over 20 billion pounds a year. The tragic result of our modern disregard for the most fundamental principles of good health is that 3/4 of Americans have a gum or periodontal disease, 10 million are without upper or lower teeth, 20 million have no teeth of their own at all, 50 million already wear complete or partial false teeth, and there are an estimated 800 million to a billion unfilled, cavity-ridden teeth among the United States populace. In a recent survey, more than 50% of children's ads on TV were for foods and beverages, often sugar-coated breakfast cereals, and they might as well have eaten the box. Primitive people, so-called, have little or no tooth decay when they eat their native diet, and that could include grubworms, that's the sound you make when you eat the box instead of the syrup. But that could include grubworms as well as maybe the bark off a tree, and people might be better off if they did eat like porcupines. But when they eat their native diet, whatever that may be, even though they don't brush with any of the brands, and they don't even use dental floss, and some of them actually file their teeth. But the Western European and North American diet results in mushrooming, that's a bad word, dental decay. For example, when the traditional Eskimo diet was based on fish, seal, and walrus meat, with some vegetable matter in summer maybe, a little bit of tundra here and there, their teeth remained sound, but when trading posts were established, selling manufactured foods and foods of high sugar content, then tooth decay skyrocketed. Another recent example was provided by the islanders of Tristan da Cunha, who had very sound teeth while on their diet consisting mainly of fish, of meat and vegetables, which included potatoes. But then somebody opened a shop selling manufactured foods, and very quickly the entire picture changed and tooth caries became obvious. Our modern diet seems tailor-made for tooth decay on a scale unimaginable in primitive society. So if you're a young person thinking about becoming a dental technician, I would suggest there is a wide open area of future employment for young people. Americans may be concerned about the price they're paying for food, but the price they're paying may involve a lot more than just dollars. It may involve their whole health and their lives.
Australians live in one of the best-fed 6 societies in the world. But an abundance of good food is no absolute guarantee of good health. The Plain Truth magazine explores the growing world health problem and brings you principles which can guarantee lasting good health. Incisive articles of understanding discuss health practices in the home, use and misuse of drugs, pollution, and your health, safety and accident prevention, world health. The Plain Truth comes to you monthly with articles covering the complete spectrum of world news, and the issues which affect you and your family every day. It's full color throughout, published in 5 languages, and read by more than 6 million people. The Plain Truth will be sent free of charge. There is no follow-up. Request The Plain Truth, a magazine of understanding. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
You know the history of bread? It's a good case in point because bread, of course, is one of the oldest known staples of life to all of human beings. You can trace it back to Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, the most ancient civilizations of all, for thousands of years. Back in ancient Israel, bread was considered the staff of life. In Europe and other countries, they still do it much differently than we do, though the idea of the enriched bread and so on has certainly caught on in many a country. I always marvel at the idea of seeing French men with their bicycles and maybe this long loaf of French bread tucked under their arm or maybe sticking out of a bicycle rack on the back of a bicycle way back in the 50s and just after World War II, when you would see French laborers going off to work with just this one loaf of bread, and they would eat some cheese and maybe drink some wine. Well, even Jesus used bread as an example of a physical necessity of life, and bread, of course, is made from grains, and especially the grain of wheat. Wheat is one of the most complete foods known to man. It contains vital nutrients such as zinc, iron, calcium, potassium, magnesium, phosphorus, vitamin B1, vitamin B2, B3, vitamin E. It contains manganese, pantothenic acid, chromium, in addition to many other vitamins, minerals, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. For thousands of years, so-called primitive milling processes were used to grind the nutritious kernels of wheat into flour, which was then made into bread. Whole wheat bread was symbolic of the simple life back in history. A higher grade flour made by sieving this coarse flour was available to the wealthy only. But the Industrial Revolution made white flour available to everybody. Today, we make bread in great automated factories, mixing the dough, shaking it, letting it rise, baking it, cutting and wrapping it, all in one continuous, giant, mechanized operation. The tragedy is that the flour we use today is called pure, refined, white flour, which has most of its nutritive value discarded or destroyed. In fact, 70 to 80% of the most vital nutrients in wheat are thrown away. Thus, the baker must enrich, at least that's what they call it, the bread, by adding a few of these vital nutrients back into the flour, usually in O4, which is thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, and iron. Yet the final pure white, enriched product is only a nutritional shadow of the original whole wheat, which really is a pathetic travesty. But that's not all. The bread must also be preserved. Nitrogen trichloride was used until 1956 to aid, bleach, preserve, and sterilize the flour, but finally, when they found it was causing fits in dogs, they quit that. So today, chlorine dioxide is used to bleach and age the flour. The bread dough is also conditioned, they call it a dough conditioner, with chemicals such as sodium stearate, sodium stearyl fumarate, and some of those words are hard to pronounce, but that's all right, we don't know what they mean on the labels anyhow. Anti-staling agents are also added. Softeners, emulsifiers, and extenders are used to maintain the bread even when it does go stale, so you can eat it with its mold. Mold inhibitors, that is, sodium propionate, are also added, and you read that on the label nearly every time you buy a package of bread. And then, as if to add insult upon injury, artificial colorings and flavorings are added, too. So that when you buy brown bread, you're actually buying white bread that has had some color added. Well, by this time it looks nice. Most people agree that it feels nice to squeeze the package, and it smells nice, and it tastes nice. But nutritionally, by the time all of this has happened to that original grain of wheat, it has become almost totally worthless to eat. And maybe we don't consider what happens to the grain of wheat before it is even grown. It is grown usually on depleted soil. Soil that has been artificially and chemically fertilized. Soil that has been misused and abused by abandoning, forgetting, not knowing, or in some way rebelling against the natural laws of conservation of nature and of good and fertile soil. But then chemical fertilizers, then the spraying of the wheat, the treating of the soil itself to prevent root and stem rust and the like. And then finally, after it is harvested, they remove the bran. Now the bran is in this outer hull. So they take all of that off. That's looked at as crude fiber, but actually that would be very important to us As a matter of fact, it's been shown that food takes 6 to 8 times longer to pass through the intestine, pardon my language, in Western countries than in parts of Africa and India, where the staple diet is whole grain food, much of it grown in the United States of America. Any relationship here to intestinal problems? Wheat germ, the germ of the wheat, is also rejected because it tends to spoil too easy, and the wheat germ contains a high percentage of protein, essential oils, vitamins, and minerals. And then the endosperm, sort of the flowery center of the wheat that you can look at if you peel a grain yourself with your own thumbs, is all the remains of the wheat while they get through throwing the rest of it away and then selling it back to you in a jar that says wheat germ, which you might want to sprinkle on your cereal to enrich it further, largely consisting of starch and poor quality protein. That's what we're doing, then, to our grain of wheat. Is it any wonder that we are increasingly a sick and a degenerate society? We are what we eat, and what we're doing to our foods before we get a chance to eat them shouldn't happen to a dog.
Thousands starve daily because the 10% of Earth's surface which is productive is not enough to meet growing food demands. Yet if man could level most of the vast mountain ranges, raise up some of the deep arid desert valleys, renew the depleted jungle soils, and provide good gentle rain in due season, that he would have additional millions of acres of farmland, man would have a solution to feeding the Earth's teeming population. Will such an answer be found? How will tomorrow's world be made free of starvation with the hunger bomb diffused? This free booklet titled The Wonderful World Tomorrow shows you the brilliant future ahead for man in a world where today's problems will be solved. It offers hope for the future and has a sure basis for that optimism. Be sure to write today for this free booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
The United States of America has the highest standard of living in all of history. Barring food shortages and fuel shortages and spiraling prices and all of the other weather upsets that come along to plague us, if you take the average workaday picture of Mrs. Housewife going into the supermarket that is laden with all of these foods, and you figure in the fact that middle-income families spend $2,500 or more on food each year. Yet, in the United States, with our tremendously high standard of living, we are terribly malnourished. We are overfed and undernourished, and we are ready now for attacks of disease. So when you see these Asian flus or anything else coming sweeping across the United States, it seems it takes a terrible toll because our resistance is so much lowered. The United States is the only nation in the world that the World Health Organization has shown no increase in life expectancy in the last 20 years. Educated people who are well informed on political and social subjects haven't the slightest notion of what constitutes a good meal. The modern housewife doesn't cook that much. She just keeps the refrigerator stocked, maybe throws a steak on, opens a couple of cans, dumps a couple of packages of this and that, and most of it is done pretty much automatically. Snacks and goodies and other things, even making up parts of casseroles, and lots of snack types of foods kept conveniently there for the kids, plus ice cream and soda pop. And of course, even our so-called good foods are fortified, if that's the word, enriched, colored, processed, and preserved, so much of the nutrition is lost or rendered unavailable. We asked Dr. Michael Rabin, clinical nutritionist, what foods are nutritionally the most desirable.
Can refined foods actually be fortified to become nutritionally adequate? In other words, you see white bread that's fortified with extra minerals and vitamins.
This is ridiculous, because who are we to tell nature what a food must consist of? You see, our knowledge is inadequate in understanding nature, so that, in my opinion at least, I feel we should go along and live in consonance with nature rather than to try to impose our inadequate ideas upon it. For example, we talk of people using vitamins, and they are, let us say, thiamine hydrochloride. This is vitamin B1. This is the form in which it is most convenient for chemists to make it. But where thiamine exists in a food, in a whole food, It is there as combined with a large protein molecule. And the action is different because there are no two chemicals that act exactly alike in any individual.
What is the purpose in breaking down all these foods and recombining them and then trying to put back the nutrition you've taken out by taking away the husks?
Only a longer shelf life so that you can buy embalmed foods to embalm you. Now, let me proceed further. You wanted to know about all the other things. Well, you may have meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, butter, cream, sour cream, fresh vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds.
What we're talking about basically then is just the diet of a farm family of 50 years ago.
Exactly, before we became the sickest nation in the world.
Would you say that in the nutritional balance, things like fresh air and exercise and peace of mind are also necessary?
In order to preserve your health, maintain it, you need two things: good food and daily exercise, not the weekend golfer or the once a week exercise, but daily exercise.
The point I want to make is that eating refined, preserved, processed, enriched, fortified, and otherwise in some way processed food in order to have longer shelf life for the convenience of the manufacturing company, but who couldn't give a hang about anything except the dollar's value, it seems, of the product, is slowly killing a lot of millions of people. Not that that product by itself is going to, but the fact that the nutritional value is just not there. And we could return to a very good diet that wouldn't take all that amount of work. Might be a pretty good idea, as a matter of fact, to begin to grow a lot of our own food. And if we knew the size of the crisis, I would venture to say that a lot of Americans would be out busily plowing up their front yards right now. We asked a home economist how to eat a nutritional, balanced diet without excessive spending.
We're here today talking with Val Vandeveer, home economist. And Val, how can the average home technician or housewife save money at the market today with the rising, spiraling food prices?
There are many ways to save money at the market. I might mention a few, such as planning your menus. When you plan your menus for a week. Only shop once a week. Read the newspapers for whole food items that are on special or in season. Plan your menus around those items. It isn't worth your time to go all over town to each store. Spend a lot of gas doing that, but if you pick two stores and do your biggest shopping at two stores.
What about this thing of impulse buying and that women are wont to do? Is part of the food bill based upon impulse buying?
Very definitely. I think it's a good idea to shop by yourself. Leave your children at home, leave the rest of the family at home, and shop by yourself, because then you don't have to contend with other members of the family's favorites. Another thing I might mention is that you spend a half an hour in a store, not over a half an hour, because after a half an hour, your impulse to buy is greater. When you go to the market, don't go to the market hungry. Eat before you go, because this can make a big difference in the food dollar.
How would you define nutrition? What is it basically?
Well, most people in the nutrition field think of the basic four, and of getting the four food groups into your menu. You have your bread group, your milk group, your meat group, and the vegetables and fruit group.
So if one were taking from each of these on a daily basis, they would be getting a balanced diet?
Well, you may not have just one serving from each group. Some of the basic four require more than one serving. And again, what is in that food that you're buying in that particular basic group, in your cereal and bread group? What kind of cereal and bread are you buying?
Let's talk a moment about processed foods. I think you alluded to it earlier. Is there much nutritional value in some of these packaged things that are so prevalent on the market today that are highly processed and refined?
Absolutely not. And yet the American housewife is buying them. And you know that they're selling them because, let's face it, it's supply and demand. And every month, new processed foods are coming out. So the American housewife is evidently demanding it because they're buying it.
And let's face it, the average housewife is buying prices. She's buying what she can afford on that narrowly constricted budget because of rising costs and sometimes wages that don't quite seem to keep pace, that you can't stretch far enough to be able to take those vacations, buy a boat, a camper, a color television set, all the beautiful gadgets in those multiple, complex, terribly electrified kitchens of ours with double ovens and all the other gadgets and things to pulverize food, such as blenders and the like, which is not a bad thing. But when you have all these other demands on your income, you don't really shop for nutrition. Most people don't, as much as they do prices. If you want continuing articles on the health of your child, of your family, and of your own personal health and well-being, whether physical or mental, then your name needs to be on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine. Articles almost every single issue on diet, exercise, drugs, physical health, proper sleep, mental attitudes, the very physical and mental well-being of every individual. The Plain Truth magazine deals with the kind of articles you as a human being need. When you take surveys of the man on the street, you find that their food, their own health, joblessness, hospitalization, insurance costs, rising costs of living, especially in foodstuffs and transportation, and of course we all know the energy crunch is here, we know that brownouts and blackouts are likely, we know that people are having to slow down and share rides, and some people are hitchhiking, and a lot of people have tried to buy different kinds of automobiles and get more gas mileage as a result of the energy crisis. Well, this kind of an article, it shows you shortcuts that you can really use and helps you understand the current trends and conditions in world conditions, is exactly what the Plain Truth magazine is all about. You need your name as never before on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine, a magazine of understanding. Our regional editors abroad in articles from the point of view of peoples in starving Africa and Asia to the Philippines and Southeastern Asia, some of the nations of Laos, Cambodia, of all of the people in, whether it's Australia, South Africa, in the Western world, we have regional editors abroad in offices all around the world, on-the-spot photographers and interviewers ready with their cameras and microphones to bring you a unique kind of a magazine that really goes behind the scenes to appraise not just today's news, but what it means, what happens from here, putting it all together to give you the overview of world conditions in the light of Bible prophecy. There will be up-to-the-moment articles about world news, putting you in the picture in the light of Bible prophecy. Also articles, helpful articles on what you can do around the home. Tips about household things, about safety, about fire, about accidents, driving, automobiles, purchasing, the economy, finance, your own personal health problems and the like. The Plain Truth magazine is a family magazine. There will be hard-hitting articles straight from the shoulder about the Bible, doctrinal articles, Christian living articles, and world news before it occurs. Every single Plain Truth magazine, a magazine that seeks to give you understanding.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.